It will be 10 years ago next month that I was ordained as a vocational deacon right here in St. Paul's. I was so thrilled and in awe I could be serving God in such a way, and I still am. And I wanted to do the best job I could do. And I thought that meant I had to be perfect in all that I was doing as serving as your deacon. Unfortunately, that kind of perfection is not in my DNA. But I tried anyway, and would be quite disappointed in myself when mishaps would occur. And believe me, they occurred. And to be totally honest, they still do. It is a blessing for me that you cannot see what goes on behind the credence table after communion has been served. All the chalices, still partially filled with wine, are placed on one of the shelves by the Eucharistic ministers. And during one of our Sunday services, as the Eucharistic ministers were returning to their seats, I noticed how one of the chalices was tipped a bit, so decided to make room for it on the shelf. I inadvertently knocked over a chalice filled with wine, and I believe you are all familiar with the domino effect. One chalice knocked over another chalice, and so on. And at that time, we had a different sound system, and on the floor, right below the credence table, was all this expensive electrical equipment. As the spilt wine was rushing towards me like a huge tidal wave, all I could picture was when it hits the electrical equipment, a blackout of gargantuan proportions was about ready to darken the lights of St. Paul's, not to mention Cary, Raleigh, and beyond. I had to stop that massive flow of wine, and then I spotted an extra collection plate just sitting on a shelf underneath. I grabbed it, and along with all the purificators, those little handkerchief-looking linens, I caught the wine just in time in the collection plate and mopped up the shelf with the purificators. I breathed a sigh of relief, smug in the knowledge that you all had no idea what I had just done. Of course, the altar guild would soon see the mess I created. Now, I could go on and on with such stories, but I don't want to totally ruin my reputation. But over the years, I have learned to relax and not beat myself up when I make a mistake. Well, at least most of the time. So do you think that Thomas was beating himself up because he didn't believe the disciples' story of seeing the risen Christ? The stories of Jesus' resurrection appearances often involve confusion. The disciples just don't get what has happened. Peter needs reminding that this fellow is the resurrected Lord. Two of the disciples go home after seeing that the tomb is empty. Mary Magdalene confuses Jesus for the gardener. And all the disciples seem to mess up, and that is frankly comforting to me. We follow in the footsteps of our Christian forebears who frequently get it wrong. But no one gets the resurrection as wrong as Thomas. Who knows what drew him away from the upper room the night that the risen Christ first appeared to the other 10. But when they all tell him what had happened, Thomas just doesn't believe them. Thomas may have thought that they were seeing what they wanted to see. He knew Jesus was dead, and he grieved deeply. But a week later, When Jesus appears in the upper room, Jesus speaks directly to Thomas. He invites him to see and to touch. The encounter is intentionally disarming as Thomas hears his doubts, his doubtful words repeated back to him. And you can imagine that his spirit must have sunk. Thomas has let down his teacher, his Lord, and his God. Yet Jesus embraces Thomas and says, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." Perhaps Thomas then slips to his knees in awe when he says, "My Lord and my God." Thomas, Doubting Thomas, as he is sometimes called, is the first disciple to put into words the truth that Jesus is both Lord and God. Thomas utters the greatest confession of faith recorded in the Bible. Thomas does not stay a doubter. When he sees the risen Jesus, all that Jesus has taught over the years now clicks into place. And to his death, Thomas is an outspoken advocate for his Lord. Now, can we find fault with Thomas when he didn't believe that Christ had indeed been raised from the dead? He is a man of strong principles. He absolutely refused to say that he understood what he did not understand, or that he believed what he did not believe. There's an uncompromising honesty about him. He would never still his doubts by pretending that they did not exist. He was not the kind of man who would rattle off a creed without understanding what it was all about. Thomas had to be sure. He was a man who, when he was sure, he went all the way. "My Lord and my God." There was nothing halfway about his thinking. He was not airing his doubts just for the sake of mental aerobics. He doubted in order to become sure. And when he was sure, his surrender to certainty was complete. So what does this mean to all of us? Thomas in John's gospel gets the resurrection wrong, yet Jesus embraces Thomas. Jesus takes imperfect Thomas's hands and puts them to his torn side. He takes Thomas's imperfect fingers in his wounded hands. The story of Jesus and Thomas keeps the resurrection real. Because of Thomas, we see that Jesus still has his scars, his wounds. Thomas meets Christ, risen in an imperfect body. Thomas is not redeemed from his imperfections, but in them. The resurrection does not magically take away painful memories. Christianity is not a magic wand that erases the hard parts of life. We bring our whole imperfect selves, our whole stories, to the resurrection. Thomas reminds us that Christianity is not about perfection. If we expect perfection of others, we can find ourselves in endless critique rather than loving embrace. At our own baptism, or those we have watched here at St. Paul's, we make a series of promises. Yet we do not promise to be perfect. As we promise to break bread, to read scripture, to work for justice, to respect human dignity, we do not swear to always get it right. We promise to try, and we acknowledge, I will with God's help. We knowingly make promises that we cannot keep on our own. Thomas is not the perfect disciple. Following the New Testament, none of the disciples are. And I find this insight rather comforting. Knowing that the founders of the faith got it wrong at times takes the weight of perfection off of our back. We're reminded that even the most faithful followers can take missteps. Missteps are part of the journey. What matters is that we keep on walking toward the Christ who embraces us even when we get it wrong. Thomas would speak to his doubters today, to those of us who have seen our hopes and dreams destroyed. Doubting Thomas would tell his story of how Jesus' life had intercepted his own. He would tell us of his fears and doubts. And then, with a radiant, joyful face, St. Thomas would recount his joy at seeing and knowing the risen Christ himself. My Lord and my God, he would say, my Lord and my God. Amen.